That was 2016. Matt Holliday spent 7 opening days with the Cardinals. He hit 156 regular season home runs as a member of the Redbirds and now joins us on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line with Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker. Matt, it's always good to have you with us. It's opening day. We're hoping for opening day at some point. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Everything's good here.
That's great. Good to talk to you guys.
You as well, man. The family all good? You guys hunkered down?
We are bored out of our minds, but we are good.
Like, what are you guys doing? Board games? Trying to play some ball in the house? What's going on over there?
All that. Yeah, we Yahtzee. I taught the boys Yahtzee this morning. We played 3 rounds of Yahtzee before their phones took over, and they went back to scrolling. We've spent a lot of time playing wiffle ball. Mostly, yeah, board games, wiffle ball, PlayStation. That's about it, really. We've gotten some ground balls in and some hitting. Thankfully, we have access to some outside cages and some things that we can do outside that's safe, and try to keep them busy as possible.
They play an MLB The Show?
Oh yeah, they love MLB The Show, and I've probably spent way too much money on packs of cards that he opens to try to get his Diamond Dynasty team to all that stuff. And I'm like, good grief! I bet PlayStation games are making a mint right now with this going on.
Yeah, there are worse habits to have though. That's an all right one.
That's true.
Matt, it was kind of surreal today driving in to the studio here. I drive right past Busch Stadium, and I'm so used to, we're all so used to opening day, what it looks like. And it's generally bumper to bumper traffic. There's tailgating, all over the place. It's an all day event. It really is a holiday in St. Louis. It's an eerie time, but I want to take you back to your first opening day as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. What do you remember about opening day 2010?
You know, I think the excitement of it, because, coming from, I had signed back, and I had experienced a lot of cool Cardinal moments and traditions and things, in the part of the year that I was there in 2009 before I signed back. But I was really looking forward to the excitement of an opening day. And like you talked about, never really experienced quite the opening day experience that St. Louis offers with, just like you said, driving into the field and there seems to be a buzz and a smell and just all the things that you would think. You get out of the car and the excitement, and you can just kind of feel the buzz in the city leading up to it. And really, for me, getting out on the field and seeing all the fans and shaking hands with all the Hall of Famers and Stan Musial and getting out of that truck and seeing all those red jackets, like I said, and some of the great Cardinal greats, and just feeling that excitement of an opening day was like nothing I'd experienced before. And, it really, every year after that, you look forward to that exact moment and day when you get to pull into Busch Stadium and you go wait with the guys down by right field and the horses and the cars are pulling up, and you get in the car and you see all the old timers coming around. And it's just a really, really cool, kind of unexplainable experience for a St. Louis Cardinal baseball player.
And it is kind of a playoff atmosphere. I remember the home run you hit in 2011, a game that you guys wound up losing, but it's a tie game in the eighth and you wind up hitting a home run, and it sounded like a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, just the excitement, and anytime, it's a packed house and everybody really wants to get especially the home season off on the right foot. And it seems like almost, like you said, a playoff game where every pitch is so much more, so much more important than any other regular season game. It just has that vibe, that playoff vibe of so much excitement and anticipation for every pitch. And, the fans want the Cardinals to win, and they want something great to happen, and they want to, they're looking for reasons to go nuts. And I remember that home run and the feeling of hitting that home run and the excitement that went into that. And like you said, it's a really, really cool, something that I remember from my career that really stands out of those opening days in St. Louis.
All right. So aside from those, aside from a World Series championship and being involved in that and mobbing everybody else on the field, is there anything else that truly stands out to you? Maybe something that we are not thinking of?
As far as individual moments, you know, I hit a home run in an All-Star game at Yankee Stadium in the last year of Yankee Stadium. That was something that stands out as very exciting to me. All the playoff home runs and things that you get a chance to be a part of are all exciting. You know, I think for me, and Brad would tell you the same, I'm sure, is the relationships and all the cool, funny moments and stories that you get to tell after you're done playing. And when you talk about certain teams or you talk about certain games or days and kind of the behind-the-scenes stories that come up and the nights at the hotels and playing video games with your boys and the funny stories that happen on the bus or in the plane or just all of those things, I think, to me, are the moments that you love to tell those stories when you're done playing. And those are the things I think you miss the most, is those relationships and those times together with the guys and all the cool things and funny things that happen behind the scenes.
Matt, my wife had to tell me for multiple years, you're not in the clubhouse anymore. Does Leslie ever have to tell you any the same things? Like, that's not funny to me.
Yeah, they don't take jokes quite the same.
No.
You know, as your boys do. They, you know, thankfully my boys are old enough now to where we can associate some locker room kind of banter and I don't have to use it on my wife. So I've got my boys and they're starting to get it and give it back to me a little bit more now that they're getting a little bit older.
I like that. It keeps you on your toes. Hey, I wanted to go back to you talking about the Hall of Famers and all the red jackets that are out there on opening day, because you know this, and you're as humble as can be, but you are a star, and you're a guy that kids look up to. And if a kid got a chance to meet Matt Holliday and get your autograph or shake your hand, like the moment that kid has is like a special one and one that he remembers forever. Do you feel that way about, did you feel that way about like meeting some of the Hall of Famers and being around Stan? Because I still remember that. Like Stan, the first time I met him, the room stopped when Stan Musial would walk in. And do you feel that same way?
You know, I remember I got a ball in my locker within the first few days that I think it may even been when we got back off the road trip after I got traded over, and in my locker was a ball. It said, "To Matt, welcome to St. Louis, Stan Musial." And I remember having that ball and thinking, my goodness, you know, like Stan Musial, wow, that was pretty cool. That's something that I remember very vividly. And like you said, like shaking hands with Stan Musial and all the other ones too. I mean, you just, I guess maybe we didn't get as much time with Stan as we got with a lot of the other ones, so he kind of really stands out. But, you know, even all the conversations you have with Red in the training room or, you know, out on the field talking with Red or you know, Bob Gibson and Ozzie Smith. And I don't want to leave anybody out because they're all fantastic. But, you know, those conversations, like you said, and those moments that you got to share with some St. Louis royalty are things that I'll never forget. And like I said, I have the jersey or the picture of Albert and me and Stan with the 5-6-7 jersey.
Cool.
Autographs in my hanging in our game room, and I have that, and that's a very special piece of memorabilia for me.
And Matt is a guy who your family loves baseball and you grew up loving baseball and you understand the history. And those are things, taking nothing away from Colorado, but they just can't have that history because they started in the early 90s. So you spent that little bit of time in Oakland, but it must have been a lot different here coming where they just had all those years to have a history.
Yeah, it's like you said, this is no knock on anybody else. I mean, this is history that's, you know, irreplaceable. Like, you know, this is stuff that not many franchises have, you know, just a handful if that, and you can't create that in a shorter window of time, and so yeah, to get a chance to be around, like you said, those guys and the history of Cardinal baseball, and like you said, my family is a baseball family, and our appreciation for all those that came before us and everything that those players and you know, guys, you know, just even Mike Shannon, like I just really enjoyed my time always in the locker room or in the food room or wherever I ran into Mike and all that he's done for Homers for Health and just what a man he is. And I still, man, if I get a chance to listen to him on the radio, I do it. And, you know, even spring training, when he's doing some spring training games, I'm listening to him on the radio just because I just love listening to him and all the old Cardinal stories that he has. And he's a treasure. And I think all these guys are just sort of St. Louis treasures that you want to just soak it up as long as you can.
I feel like you'd be a pretty good storyteller. So what do you have?
You know, a lot of the stories from that 2011 team, with the characters that we had on that team, some are shareable and some aren't. But, I think that the characters of the Pintos and the Schumachers and the Waino and Gerald Laird and Ryan Terrio and some of the bench guys did such tremendous jobs of keeping the locker room loose and constantly being the subject of funny stories and acting inappropriately and doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing. And the way that they were able to talk to Tony, where Tony typically, they would say things to Tony where I was like, wow, I probably wouldn't have said that. But, they were able to say things. I'll give you a quick story. I remember we were in Atlanta and Gerald Laird, I think he hit a triple and he slid into third and he broke his finger and comes back and he comes out of the game or whatever. And we win the game and everybody's in a great mood. And that was back when we all rode the same bus and we're all doubled up. You know, I thought that was interesting and awesome all at once when I got traded over to the Cardinals and all of a sudden I'm getting on a bus and I'm like peeled in there sitting next to Chris Carpenter. We're sharing a seat and everybody's sharing seats because all the coaches are on the bus and the bus is packed. So Gerald's in the back and everyone's having a good time. He's got a broken finger and from the back of the bus as it gets a little bit quiet, he says, "Hey, Skipper." And Tony, he turns his head and kind of looks like, who's talking to me? And Gerald says, "Hey, Skipper, they told me I'm going to miss 6 weeks." I said, "No problem. That's only two games."
That's beautiful.
And the bus erupts and everybody, and he laughs. And Tony laughs and turns back around. And it was really, really funny.
What about the meeting that late in the season at Carp's house when you guys were so far behind in 2011?
That was such a cool time and we had really, really good leadership and obviously you guys know Chris Carpenter and I can't say enough great things about Carp. Carp is one of my favorite teammates and people in the world and him and Albert and a lot of the veteran guys and just kinda to just make sure everybody knew that we were still in it and to not give up and we had Lance Berkman who is another tremendous leader who had been through everything and had been on World Series winning team or World Series playing teams and been part of a lot of playoffs. And I think the overriding message was just like, stay the course. And we have a lot of talent. We have a really good group of guys and we're going to get hot at some point. We just got to put everything together. And I think everybody, when it comes from that kind of leadership, you believe it. I think that team bought in.
Do you look back at that now, though, Matt? I'm sorry to cut you off, dude, but just figuring out, like I get it with the meeting and the believing in yourself, but have you had a chance to look back and really look at how ridiculous that is, what you guys did?
I was watching that game the other night, the game six, when they replayed it, and Joe Buck kept mentioning the 10.5 back on August, whatever, I can't remember what day it was. But yeah, when you look back at how far back we were and what we had to overcome, I think really the only way to overcome something like that is to very much take it one day at a time and try to win that game. And I think Tony did such a tremendous job of keeping everybody focused on winning and doing everything that we could control, which was only winning one day at a time. You could not win more than one game a day. And I think that was really kind of the approach that we were able to take. And a lot of times teams can't do that. And you start to you lose one and you get defeated and it carries over into the next day. And the next thing you're so far back that there's nothing you can do. And so I just think, for whatever reason, we were able to kind of keep rolling it out there and keep pushing. And we got some help from some other teams. And next thing we find our way in there.
Matt Holliday with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. A couple of more things, Matt. Last one from me. Up on the screen here in the studio, we're watching an MLB Network interview, Matt Vasgersian with Nolan Arenado. How did your offseason workouts with Nolan go?
Nolan is such an awesome guy and just such a grinder and a worker. And he was looking for he kind of wanted to get out of California a little bit and come out here and train for a week and hang out and spend some time. He's really close with my two oldest boys and they like to hang out. And so he came out we got a lot of work in while he was here and he asked me questions all the time and I'm just like, Nolan, you know, you hit 40 homers and 300, you know, hits 300, hits 40 homers, drives in 120 every year. I give him what I got. Usually it's that looks great. You know, your swing looks great. But he is a really fun guy to be around. And like I said, he's a big kid. He loves baseball and, he loves baseball and he loves to talk baseball and he lives. I mean, just, we're always talking baseball. He's in my living room, you know, at 10:30 at night and we're just hanging out. He's got a bat in his hand and he's timing up, you know, he's getting his load. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then we went to actually my son, my oldest high school practice, and they were inter-squatting. And he's standing on the side, and we're kind of watching. And he's all of a sudden, he's timing this pitcher. And I'm thinking, I said to him, I said, hey, no offense to this kid, but I don't think you're going to see him in the big leagues anytime soon. You know, he's like, he's throwing 72 with a 68 mile an hour. You know, Carter, I think you're going to be fine. Like, you probably don't need to time him. And he's like, yeah. I don't know. I can't help myself.
That's awesome.
He's a really good guy and a lot of fun to be around.
I've heard that he also looks good in red. Doesn't matter. We'll find out one of these days, maybe. Hey, how much do you love that aspect of, I know you love the game. You love it inside and out. How much do you love training it and teaching it?
You know, it's the next best thing. You know, I miss playing. I miss, you know, getting a chance to get out on the field and compete with your brothers and get out there and try to accomplish something on the field. But it very much has been cool to kind of get what I would call, you know, like I said, the very next best thing is to try to help other guys reach their dreams and college guys or even, you know, pro guys, giving some advice about little things that maybe could help them take the next step in their game or just maybe offering them some perspective on what it looks like when you've retired. And I think that sometimes reminding guys when they're grinding and they're going through a hard time that someday it'll be over and that if it helps, you look at things a little different when it's over about slumps or when it's not going your way. You kind of miss those times. So I enjoy it. To answer your question, I like it. I like to help college guys. And 18 and 22 is a very impressionable age. A lot of them are trying to figure out who they are as people, which has been more gratifying than anything, is kind of sharing life lessons and sharing things that have helped me and sharing my faith with them and things like that. Those are the things that I really have a passion for and have really enjoyed to this point in coaching with some college guys.
And that's the hard thing to know in the moment, isn't it? To know that it's going to be over, because I would imagine you feel like it's going to happen forever.
Yeah, it really is. And I talked to Matt Carpenter some about this last year, and coming off the, you know, kind of the frustrating season that he had, is that, you know, someday you're going to miss it and it's going to be over and you're going to miss grinding and playing and all those things. And that, I think when you're going through it, you think everybody in the world is watching and that they're all counting your at-bats and how you're not doing well. And that I think once you retire, you're like, yeah, people don't care that much. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care that much. Maybe in St. Louis they care that much, but most places they don't care that much. But, you know, just trying to offer some perspective that hey, man, just try to enjoy it. You know, enjoy the things that are fun. Enjoy the work. Enjoy the teammate time, enjoy the winning, and really play for your team and play for the things that last and play for the things that ultimately you'll remember. You won't remember this slump. What you'll remember is the team's success and like I talked about, the good times in the locker room and getting to share moments with guys when they have kids or babies or get married or, you know, those are the things that last and just trying to remind those guys that, man, like you said, it doesn't last forever and it really doesn't. It goes by so, so fast. And I remember as a young player, I used to think, you know, these older guys talk about how fast it goes. I'm in an over 12 slump and it, you know, these days are dragging on, but it really does go fast.
Matt Holliday, that's great perspective. We always love having you on and glad that you and the family are healthy at the moment, safe at the moment. Stay that way. And hopefully when we get to a real opening day, we'll be able to talk to you again.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys. Always love talking to you guys. It's fun to talk about Cardinals and really appreciate the job you guys do. So thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Matthew. Matt Holliday with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Don't forget, coming up later, we've got the Blues and the Predators pregame at 6 o'clock. It is Play Gloria, the Blues Run to the Cup, brought to you by Mitsubishi Electric Heat, Cooling and Heating. Find your Mitsubishi Electric Diamond contractor at keepmidwestcool.com.